book of Mark, chapter number 5. We've been preaching for some time on seeing God bigger. And the Lord had woke me up at 4 o'clock in the morning a couple of weeks ago, and so I got out of the bed and got on my knees and started praying. And as I started praying, the Lord started dealing with me about seeing Him bigger. And He started pointing out some characters in the Scripture, such as Job. Job was a man who went through bereavement, and maybe you're going through bereavement. He's a man who went through bankruptcy. Maybe you're going through bankruptcy. He's a man who went through having boils all over his body. Maybe you have a health issue tonight. He's a man whose bride said, "Cuss God and die." Maybe you're having trouble in the marriage. I don't know. And then his buddies, they were miserable comforters. Maybe some of your friends you feel like has forsaken you. But through all those trials in Job's life that came to him, Job said, "Lord, you've used this to break me. You've shaken me." And the Bible says that when you and I draw nigh to God, He draws nigh to us. And when we are broken, He's nigh to those who are broken, according to Psalm 34. And I started thinking about the fact that old Job, at the end of his trial, in Job 42:5, this is what he said: "Now mine eye seeth thee." Through all the afflictions, through all the problems and all the predicaments and all the pestilence, through the bereavement, through the bankruptcy, through the boils, through those things, he saw God bigger, and he ended up getting double everything he had to start with. I'm interested in that. How about you? Amen. Hallelujah. God began to point out other characters in the Scripture who saw God bigger as they came through a problem. I'm speaking to someone tonight, I believe, that you've got a problem. You have a burden, and you need to hear from heaven. That's one of the reasons you've come. Some of you is here to worship, I know that, but many of you are here just saying, "Oh, I hope that God would be pleased to speak to me from heaven, to show me what I need to do, to give me enlightenment about what's going on in my life right now." And as I laid there that night, as I was down on my knees praying, and then I laid out in the floor beside my bed, as I was laying there, I heard the whistle of the train in Spruce Pine go by. But you can't really hear the whistle from my house, but I heard a whistle very distinctly. I don't know if the wind was blowing that direction or if the glory train went by. I don't know, but I know this. God spoke to my heart and said, "Spruce Pine is only so big." When that train saw Spruce Pine's lights off in the distance, it was way far yonder away. But when that train drew closer, Spruce Pine got bigger. If you were standing on them railroad tracks and you had looked, you could see that train coming down the tracks. It looked like it's way far off in the distance. But as it draws nigh, you're seeing that train bigger and bigger every step of the way. I want to say to you, this trial that you're in, this predicament, this problem, God has allowed it that you might see God bigger. Preacher, I didn't really want to have to see Him too awful big. Let me tell you something. He's interested in developing your relationship with Him to go further and further and further. For you and Him to get closer. Some of you have not been close with God in years. And He's just started dealing with you. And He's dealing with you through problems to get you back in a right relationship with the Redeemer. Amen? And then Mark chapter 5 comes to mind because the name Jairus. This is the story about Jairus. And we want to preach tonight about seeing God bigger through Jairus' burden. The name Jairus means this. It means he whom God enlightens. I need the enlightenment of God. How about you? In Mark chapter 5, we'll look in verse number 21. "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto Him, and He was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." Father, We thank you tonight for the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, Father, to preach the Word of God tonight with power. And that, God, you'd speak to hearts tonight that are desiring a word from you. Help us tonight, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When I look at these verses, first of all, I see faith revealed. Think about Jairus for just a second. Jairus is the ruler of the synagogue. Therefore, I would label him as an important man. Being the ruler, being the man with power and position, he was an important man in the community. He was also an influential man. He's a family man. He's got a daughter. And this girl's name, we don't know. But we understand she's 12 years old. Later in the text, we'll find out. And Jairus is burdened for his daughter. Jairus is so burdened for his daughter that he's willing to go and get Jesus, to fall at Jesus' feet and begin to seek his face. I want to say something to the daddies tonight. Never, ever devalue the impact you have on your family. The impact you have on your family is huge. And the best thing you'll ever do for your family is go get Jesus. He was desiring Jesus to come and lay hands on his daughter. Oh, that Jesus would come and lay his hands on my girl or on my boy. Oh, that Jesus would lay his hands on the youngins from the Bethel Baptist Church. Boy, that would be a great thing. And so immediately we understand that this important man, this influential man, he's a man of faith because he's come to Jesus, desiring Jesus to do something. What this daddy is saying is, I cannot, but I know a man who can.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Not only is an important man an influential man, but according to the text, he's an interceding man. He's a man that was praying for his family. Do you pray for your family? Do you only pray when it's bad? Do you only pray when there's problems? Do you only pray when there's issues? Or do you pray every day, seeking the face of God on behalf of your family? I want to tell you something, amen. You need to learn to make sure to pray for your family. So number one tonight, we see the faith of Jairus revealed. Can you see him as he goes to get Jesus? And he says, Jesus, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come on, we got to get to my girl. Come on, come on, come on, come with me. Do you understand? She's dying. We ain't got time to dilly-dally. I need you to do something. I need you to do something now. Have you ever been there? That is his faith being revealed. He went and got Jesus and began to take Jesus towards his house. But second of all, we see his fear realized. According to the 25th verse, look at it with me. There was a woman with an issue of blood. We know her story, right? This woman that's had this issue of blood for 12 years. I mean, she's got a real problem. She's in a real predicament. She's going to die at any point in time. And the Bible says that as Jesus was passing through the multitude, I mean, hands reaching out to touch him, people trying to get a hold of him, Jairus had come and had revealed his faith and was trying to lead Jesus towards his house to try to hurry him along, when all of a sudden, up underneath the crowd slipped a woman with a disease so loathsome that she shouldn't even be in this place. But faith has brought her here, and as Jesus passes by, she touches the hem of his garment.
Amen.
Amen? We know the story. This woman with the disease, she had a desire. She said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And immediately when she touched him, that touch of faith, immediately she was made whole. She felt it run through her body, the healing power and virtue, woo, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And brother, she about fell out. She about had herself a spell. And as Jesus now is being led by Jairus, a woman grabs and stops him. And he turns around to the woman, and Jairus stands for a minute, and Jesus looks at her, and she began to tell him everything about what was going on. What is his fear being realized? Delay. Have you ever been praying about something and you felt like God was delaying? I have an announcement. God's delay in your life is not denial. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah right there. Thank you, God. He didn't say no. He just said, wait a minute. And he looks at this girl, and I'm telling you, God is, he is divinely, sovereignly setting this deal up. That little girl that's laying there at the point of death is 12 years old. And this woman with the issue of blood has had an issue of blood for 12 years. All these things, Jairus is hearing it, and all these things are coming together to try to help Jairus see Jesus a little bigger. Oh, he believes he can do something about his girl laying at the point of death. But that's where he thinks Jesus can't go any farther. So we see the delay. Man, can you see him sitting over here? I mean, you're in a rush. You need him to do something now. Oh, Lord, if you'd just hurry. Please help me. Come on. Don't talk to her so long. I know she needed help too. But can't you move this thing along and speed things up? Amen. Look at verse 34. Look what Jesus said to this woman, this diseased woman that had a desire that's been delivered by Jesus. He said, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Here's some more words, I believe, that's meant to inspire Jairus while he's off on the corner. We don't know that he said anything. We don't know what he was thinking, but more than likely, he's just like you and me. Lord, I need you to do something, and I need you to do something now. Lord, where are you at now? And the devil's trying to say, he don't care about you. You're going down. You're not going to make it. Are you with me? And he said, daughter. Jairus has a daughter. Thy faith hath made thee whole. All these words that are trying to clue Jairus in to say, hey, I'm going to take care of this problem. Now we've seen his faith revealed. Here his fear is realized. He's got a delay in his life. Have you ever experienced a delay? Look at the doubt that comes, verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Jesus deals with this woman. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Thou art made whole from that old plague that she had, right? And here's old Jairus sitting over here sweating it out. And he comes over, and somebody come to Jairus and said, why troublest thou the master any further? Thy daughter is dead. It's over. No hope. Too late. Oh, if Jesus had just hurried just a little. If we hadn't got stopped by that woman. If the crowd wasn't trying to touch him and throng him. And I could have moved him just a little faster. We'd have made it. Oh, this is all Jesus' fault. It didn't happen like I wanted it to happen. I prayed that I'd get there in time. It didn't happen like I needed it. I've waited too late, too long. It's not going to happen. Can you see Jesus as he turns around and he says to Jairus, he says, be not afraid. Believe only. Amen. Hallelujah. Now before Jairus was moving along Jesus pretty speedily. But now Jesus says, come on Jairus, it's time to go to your house. Who's doing the leading in your life? Come on. But Jesus, it's too late. No, it's not too late, Jairus. I can do all things. Your girl's not dead but sleeping. I'll show you in just a little bit. Amen. Whoop! Glory to God. You may be here tonight saying, I tell you what, preacher, I've got issues. I mean bankruptcy almost. Boils on my body, disease. I don't know how I'm going to make it. The bills are mounting up. We're ready to give in. Preacher, all my fears are realized. Yes, there's delay. Yes, there's doubt. I'm thinking there's not. Listen, I'm thinking there's no way God can do anything for me now. I'm glad you're to that point. Because when you get to that point, that's when he takes you by the hand and says, instead of you leading me and telling me what you need, let me tell you about what I'm going to do for you. Yeah, man. Be not afraid. Only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly.
And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. Can you hear him say, We know a dead girl when we see one. I mean, she's not breathed one breath in about an hour. She's completely blue. She's cold as a corpse would normally be. I mean, we've had the doctor here. We've had the preacher here. We've had the whole deacon board here. We've thrown oil on her. We've prayed over her. And we're absolutely sure and are persuaded she's dead. We'll call a funeral home. They'll verify it to you. We can get a death certificate. It's too late for her. They laughed at him. They scorned him. They ridiculed him. The Bible says, but when he had put them all out. Who's them? The scorners. The unbelievers. And I want to say to you tonight, you looking at me? I have an announcement. You ain't going to like it. But every one of us has unbelief in our heart. No, preacher, I'm saved. I know you are. But I'm telling you, my friend, there's a point that you get where you say, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I believe you'll help so-and-so, but I don't know so much about you helping me. I believe there's going to be a resurrection out yonder somewhere and a rapture, but I don't know so much if it was going to happen right now. So we've seen his faith revealed, his fears realized. Last of all, we want to see his future revived. The Bible said he put them all out. He taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entereth in where the damsel was lying. What a scene there as they gather around this dead girl. There is a daddy and there is a mama, two people. And they're weeping profusely as they stand over their daughter who's dead. And then there's Peter and James and John, the sons of thunder, three more men totaling five. And there lays a dead daughter. Number six. Hey, the number six is for the number of man. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. We are all dead in trespasses and in sin. There she lays dead. But don't underestimate the seventh man in the room. He's the Son of God, the all-powerful one. Hey, he's the miracle worker, amen. And there he stands over her. And the Bible says he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked. For she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. Amen. Rose her right up, and immediately Jairus looked at his girl, and she stood up and began to walk. And can you hear as she said, Daddy, thank you for going to get Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. Well, if I don't excite y'all to death, your wood's wet.
Yep.
Daddy, it's so good to see you, Daddy. I want to tell you something. Old Jairus saw remarkable power that day. Something that he thought was dead, a situation that was over, that had no hope, too late, it was finito, it was done, he'd washed his hands of it, this is over. Jesus changed that thing. He saw remarkable power. And what a remarkable privilege. Preacher, what do you mean? Stand back up, Jairus. What a remarkable privilege to walk hand in hand with Jesus.
Amen.
To see God working in your family, saving them right before your very eyes. To see God work miracle after miracle. What a remarkable privilege to see God working close up. I want to say to you tonight, church, I want to try to encourage you just a little bit. If you brought Jairus right now and stood him here and said, Jairus, after that trial was over, did you see God any bigger? He'd say that. He'd sit down and say, I ain't got time to tell you how much bigger I've seen him. My faith has been so limited. I believe that God could do all things, but I didn't think he'd do all things for me. But I'm telling you, when I saw him walk into my house, when I saw him take my hand with his hand, boy, things got different in my life. Business picked up, amen, and things changed from that moment on. My future's been revived. I thought things was dead. I thought it was over. And he brought me to a place where there was life. He brought me to a place where all things are possible. I remember Brother Mike Hodge said that there was a time that's in the prayer room, and an old boy sat there and he's taking up prayer requests. And the old boy said, "Oh, yeah, I want you to pray for my mama." And they said, "What's wrong with your mama?" He said, "She ain't saved. How won't you pray for my mama that she'd get saved?" So they started praying for the mama that she'd get saved. Came out of the prayer room, Mac looked over the congregation and he said, "Son, which one of these ones is your mama?" He said, "Brother Mac, I don't think she's here yet, but she's coming. I know she's coming. She's going to get saved tonight." Brother Mac thought, "I don't know how she's going to get saved if she ain't even here, but okay." Got in the service and the choir was singing. Boy sitting right behind the preacher, Brother Mac looked back and he said, "Son, has your mama come in yet?" Boy looked over the congregation and said, "Nope, she ain't here yet, but she's coming, preacher. She's going to get saved." Came time, they called evangelist Mac Hodge up to the pulpit and he preached the word of God, and as people got saved and people testifying around, and he'd come off the platform and he said, "Was any of them your mama?" He said, "Nope, she ain't got here yet. But it's all right because God's going to save her tonight." Brother Mac began to think, "Well, you know what, son, I appreciate your faith. But if your mama ain't here and this service is pretty much over, it ain't happening today." And two or three people started testifying. Somebody said, "I got a song." You know how overtime sometimes breaks out at the church. And some people sit back there and say, "Oh, I wish it'd hurry. I've got to get to the house. I've got important things to do. I've got to fill my thermos for work in the morning. At my school, my youngins, they've got to get some sleep tonight. Let me tell you something. Preacher, I got to get out of here. You're wearing me out, preacher. Don't sing Amazing Grace again. Don't nobody say that they've been saved and brag on Jesus." But when that overtime broke out, there come a squeak at the back door. Somebody started stepping on that wooden floor, and you know how them old wooden floors will squeak? That boy rolled his eyes back. He hit Brother Mac on the shoulder and he said, "That's my mama." She walked in the back door. She was weeping when she walked in. She come down the center aisle. She was broken as she walked down through there. You could hear a pin drop in the church now. A church that was shouting and rejoicing fell completely silent. And she said, "Y'all, I've been laying on the couch. I've been miserable. I'm going to hell. I can't take it no more. Please, would some..." Listen. The whole time they're praying in the prayer room, the Holy Ghost was on her. The whole time they're up preaching, the Holy Ghost was on her, saying, "Get up, get up, you're going to hell, get up, get up," and convicted her. She got herself ready, went to the house of God, found the old-fashioned altar. Brother Mac, the preacher, and that boy got around Mama, and Mama got good and saved. You may sit here tonight and tell me just what you think about it and just how it is. And maybe it is to you. But don't leave Jesus out of the equation. You may think it looks hopeless. You may think it's impossible. But I'm going to tell you what. God can change this thing. It's going to take you being willing to get out of your seat and say, "Lord, I'm going to start reading the Word. I'm going to claim its promises. I'm going to start fellowshipping with you. I'm going to lay in this prayer altar. I'm going to start one at the house. I'm begging you to do something for my backslid family members. Some is lost. God, I'm going to beg you to do something." And when it's over, you're going to come back and you're going to stand up and you're going to say, "Brothers and sisters, I have an announcement. I see God a whole lot bigger tonight than I've ever seen him before. Let me tell you what he's done."